There's no perfect way to teach the periodic table or the trends in the periodic table. That's how, as you move from left to right or up and down the periodic table, the different properties of atoms change, of elements change. There's no perfect way. There are some better ways and some worse ways. And the way that you teach it really depends on the group of people, what time of year you're teaching to them, and what the weather's like and stuff like that. So one very hands-on way I did to teach the periodic table is to give the class some 100 balloons or some 80 balloons and get them to organise themselves into groups, and they had the challenge of writing the elements symbol, two-letter symbol, on the balloon with the atomic radius, and coming amongst themselves to build a scale model periodic table. Or periodic table of elements, of actual physical models. And I had bought some plastic garden trellis. And what happened is that they all blew them up to the appropriate side. Francium the largest, I think helium the smallest, helium was barely there, and they blew them all up and assembled them on the periodic table, sometimes in colours of the various groups, arranged it there. There's a bit of cooperation, a bit of understanding, so they had to look up the data and do it correctly and correct other people and spot obvious mistakes. So this is the basics of it. They attached it there. And then, with time permitting, I brought out some darts, and they had to have a competition. Obviously, it was the larger ones were easier to hit, and the smaller ones were less easy to hit. And at the end of it, they had a general view of trends in the periodic table. Now, what we're going to do is use the power of imagination this time, to do something a little bit more sophisticated, a bit more in-depth about the periodic table, a sort of a point that are really a trend, a sort of super trend I'd like to go through with you, using the power of imagination. Not unlike the Goon Show, where they're able to say, look, we're dragging Britain outside, it's telecast rights, so we can actually broadcast to it. So there's all these things you can do in your imagination, which is rather hard to animate and rather hard to draw a picture, but I'm sure if someone's got huge amounts of fun, they can do it, or make I suppose clever TV. This is Peter Hill Explains, where I discuss things scientific. I'm in my cardiac rehab. I'm sort of limited to several walks a day, so in the off time I've trying to podcast my way into, so I can podcast and talk about some actually interesting, some groundbreaking maths. This is more I suppose the insights I'd like to share with people who are interested. What can I say, there's this strict zone of teaching the required curriculum at school and leaving major things out, and when students ask an intelligence question which you could answer, you're sort of all stuck there. You know, do I tell them more, or how do I exactly explain the truth? Whereas people who just know what the textbook is, they say, well, that's what it is, that's all it is. You just have to forget about your curiosity. You just have to produce these series of trends, a trend of atomic radius as you go up, and I suppose electronegativity, whatever it is, going across, and you have to you have to explain it, and you have to actually say the basic law is that there were gaps in the periodic table, and people were able to guess the properties of the missing elements, like germanium. And there's a few others that people are able to infer the melting points either side of the gap. We're able to guess the melting point in the overall properties, and this was, I suppose, dead reckoning. Basically, you're you're at a hill, and there's a gap in there. What's the actual amount of soil to fill that hole? You can work that out without much deep understanding. And of course, that won't be good enough. We'll go into detail. And there's a few other gaps in the periodic table, just due to nature. Technetium and praseodymium. There's two gaps. One in the... No, is it in the lanthanides? I can't really remember. There's famous gaps. The technetium is the most in your face gap. This is a gap not due to people not finding it yet. It's a gap because it's naturally radioactive, and its abundance is zero. Abundance is a typical thing. Abundance goes up and down with even and odd number of atomic number, and so this is something which is definitely not a distinct trend in the periodic table. It has a story for it. So, as promised, we're going to take you off into an imagination zone, and the property that I had taught for the periodic table was previously the radius. I've had people build a periodic table of jokes where they have to have the periodic table and a fold-out piece of paper, and they can actually build a whole wall of the periodic table. But this time I'm going to go for something which I think is sort of the most amazing property, which sort of really tells it all, is electron affinity. You're going to hate that type of stuff. So if you really want to see electron affinity, go to dynamic periodic table, search that on the internet, and you'll see a beautiful periodic table there. You'll notice the short printing form and the long form that you can go. If you click on the tab called properties, you'll be able to the properties and select the property electronegative. You can go through and look at the various things there. And what we're going to do is you'll immediately see that the electronegativity rises to is low on the left hand side and high on the right hand side just before fluorine, and then it's zero again at for the noble gases. So there's a bit of a trend there. Perhaps that's not what we should do. We should look at other trends. No, we're going to look at this trend at the moment. We're in this fantasy area. So you can see, if you look at it, I really should turn off the podcast at the moment and have a good look and see if you can spot a few patterns. And this is the deepest patterns yet in the periodic table. So we'll take it there. So switch off, have a look, and welcome back. Did you spot any patterns? What we're going to do is do a few things. Imagine that the periodic table of elements are actually T-shirts. Yes, T-shirts. You can buy a HT shirt, a HE T-shirt, and the colours there are, I think, yellow to green, dark green. I think dark green is lower. I think it's the lower electronegativity. So did I say electronegativity? It should be electron affinity. Scrap all that and go to electron affinity. That's the major thing, the number of kilojoules per mole. Electron negativity is weirder still. Electron affinity. So electron affinity is the amount of energy given out when you add an electron to a neutral atom. Mind-blowingly quantum mechanical, but it's also mind-blowing insightful. So scrap everything I said before on electron affinity, and given that this is my fourth podcast for the day, my cardiac rehab between walks, that they're getting me to go on. I hope you can forgive me. So it's electron affinity that we're looking at. So stop again. I'll give you some time now to switch off and look at electron affinity. Welcome back from looking at electron affinity. And so things with the lowest electron affinity off my head are green. And so you'll notice a few things are the lowest. Things in group 2, beryllium, magnesium, calcium going downwards. I can't really remember. You have slightly lower electron affinity. You go across, you notice that manganese has lower affinity in group, let's go 1, 2, 3, 4. Group 4, sorry, period 4. Yep. And also nitrogen, it's got unusually low electron affinity. Fluorine's got really great electron affinity, but then it really dies. Electron affinity is also low for, going down, that's gold, it's a zinc, I forget the element above zinc. Mercury, they've got really lousy electron affinity, that strip there, and also the noble gases have almost no electron affinity. If you add an electron, there's almost no energy given off. So this is not electron negativity, how much they can court an electron in. It's once we're close, it's how much energy I give out. And as we said, I'm going to ask you to imagine elements as T-shirts. Okay, we have them in balloon form, we'll have them in T-shirts. And here's the trick. The number of T-shirts on a particular rack, so that's a hydrogen rack, is equal to the abundance. So there's a huge number in hydrogen and helium, and then as you go down the periodic table, you've got less, so you've got the abundance, and in your imagination, the number of electrons. Now, as you notice, if you look to the side, you'll see the gentle rippling of the abundance as you go from, I think even Z has a slightly higher abundance, but it's quite a dramatic thing to watch. I suppose another thing you could say is the actual weight of those T-shirts. Those T-shirts have a weight, which is going to be their atomic weight, relative atomic mass, their RAM. And I'm just going to give you another piece of information that RAM is the measurement of your T-shirt. If you put it on a set of scales, as measured on the surface crust of the Earth, if you set up another store from using T-shirts mined from the centre of the Earth, it will be different again. And if you go to a different planet, it will be different again. So the RAM, your relative atomic mass, so a RAM which is really easy to remember, is 35.5 for chlorine. It's a relative isotopic mass. That's RAM, relative, is the abundance on Earth. Now, even then, that can vary from place to place. So just remembering, lithium is one of the ones which you can get a lithium battery, run it through a mass spec, and say, that one came from Peru. That one came from, I don't know where else they mined lithium. Australian lithium is different. Australia, in general, has, if you want something to stick out, you can actually see. So what's done is, I think the United States has ruled the roost here, and it's the RAM of a nuclear, of the periodic table, is very much a US, European RAM. Us in the Southern Hemisphere have slightly different isotopic mixes. Now, so 35.5 is the average number of isotopes. So the just very simply, there might be 50% 35 and 50% 36 neutrons and protons. So that will give you the relative atomic mass, sort of advertising the air, so you can actually work that out. The relevance here is that if I get a bottle of, say, chlorine from the surface of Earth, and I get another bottle from, say, Mars, I want them to react the same. I'll have a slightly different mass. It's an important point. Now, we're having the actual colour of the T-shirts equal to their electronegativity. And when you look at it, there is a trend from very good electronegativity on group 1 to really poor electronegativity on group 8 or 18, depending on how you count. There's two ways of counting groups. So groups are the horizontal columns, the rows are called periods, going through. And so what we're going to do at the moment is there's obviously other patterns there that you'll be able to see. There's this odd thing that manganese in the middle of the D block is low, and nitrogen in the middle of the D block is low, unaccountably low here. And so we're going to have to do a bit more imagination. And so what we're going to do is we're going to say that group 1 and group 2 are infants' T-shirts, and they're going to be displayed towards the back of the store. Then the next group from 3 to 8 or 13 to 18, depending how you name them, that's the P block, which is boron, carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, neon. I think I've missed that, fluorine, neon. That group is the P block. I'm going to say that's for adolescents. That's going to be, say, 5 metres closer to the front of the store. And in the middle of the store, we're going to have for the young adults. So that's adolescents for the middle-aged people. We're going to have the D block. And then right up the front of the store, we're going to have, which is the D block's 10 rows across, and at the front of the store, 14 rows across. Give you a clue, the number of rows across is 2 times an odd number. So it's 2, 6, 10, 14, 2 times 1, 2 times 3, 2 times 5, 2 times 7. At the front is the old people's. Essentially, you will then see, walking around the store, is that the trends in the periodic table are actually trends across the S, the different blocks. If you get a little bit confused, you can actually merge those blocks together and say, oh, there's no trend, and ignore the F block. So as you go across the S block, the electronegativity drops. As you go to the period 2, as you go across the P block, between group 3 and 8, it goes down again. It drops at N, but then drops right off at 8. So putting it together, if you can blur your vision and sort of see that you could say there's a trend right across the periodic table, but this is showing you more a trend within the blocks, the periodic table. That's why I've selected electron affinity. If you go to the D block, so let's go, it's S, P, D, F. It's due to the origin of S, P, D, F is quantum mechanical shapes, but in the very old nomenclature, S is for sharp lines, P is for principal lines, really strong, big lines, and D is for diffuse lines, and F is for fine lines. That's the limits of it. Now, D is in our central group of metals, so it starts off with quite reactive metals again on the left. That's scandium going down. They're actually called the rare earths. Ytterbium, I think underneath that is lutetium. Yeah, and look, in general, if that's not there, your periodic table is wrong. So it is a bit, you know, like the key, lutetium is the most mistaken element. But if you go down there, those elements are most reactive. Those rare earths react. They don't, in sodium, blows up in water. But these rare earths are sort of attenuated down in terms of the drama happening. The group 3 is quite reactive. Go right across, and the noble gases of the D block is the 10th block across, the 10th group down. So that would be, in fact, group 12, because you've got 1, 2, and then 10, 12. And so going down 12, the sort of noble gases are zinc, I really can't remember the one after that, then mercury. So mercury is the noble gas of metals, i.e., that's, in terms of its configuration, that's why it's liquid. Gold is similar to the fluorine metal or chlorine of metal, it's along there. So it's repeating the process again. So it's, I'm showing you the mega pattern, and if you look across, you can see where it's quite a stark one in S, quite a strong variation in P. The variation is a bit more gentle in the D. So you've got, the interesting thing is to see the coincidence between N of nitrogen and the Mn manganese. Is that how you pronounce it? Manganese. Really interesting compound in actual fact, how these are I've got low electron affinity. Then of course so you can imagine it's toddlers, stark contrast, modest contrast, almost very gentle contrast by the time you get to the D block. The F block, which is 14 across, and there's virtually nothing, there's no variation whatsoever. All the old guys are not into the variation. And now in this one, in this imagination, I've got you into a store. I've got you because it's your imagination, I can break up the block a bit, and we've looked at electron affinity as a method in there. And indeed, with this in mind, you can actually go back and look at some of the other trends and get more of the chemical properties out of things, particularly people sort of get very vague when they look at the so there is a trend that there's more variation from S to P to V. Variation drops, and the variation is almost, there's no chemical way to separate the lanthanides. In fact, the lanthanides are so chemically similar, people had to scratch their heads. That's why they're all the elements were all bundled in the same the same rock, and they couldn't separate them. And the lanthanide means hidden. All the elements are hidden. So in terms of trends of the periodic table, there's a trend of trendiness, and the trend of trendiness reduces. So the trend of trendiness is there's less trendiness as you go down. The old people are less trendy. I didn't see that one coming. In fact, lutetium, which is one of my favourite elements, which I thought was the most boring element ever, was actually a trace in yttrium. So given that this is all discovered outside Stockholm, scandium means Scandinavia. Yttrium is the suburb of Stockholm it was discovered in, and lutetium was named after Paris, the old name of Paris, But again, I think that was going to be so all the periodic table lanthanides, which are rare earths, have got Swedish names. But getting back again, that's sort of a mind twisting trends of the periodic table. Don't tell your students this, but this is a general thing to look at the periodic table and see the subtlety of trends and perhaps the crudeness of trends promulgated through textbooks, which just put the periodic table together with the blocks all merged together in big arrows either side. And the arrows are true enough, but they mask some other more subtle trends, which allows you to see some more subtlety, i.e. that they're really the noble gas version of metals in the in the D block, with mercury being liquid and gold, copper, gold, silver being equivalent to the halogens in the D block, and they all are obviously very valued. They're all valued because of their conductivity and because of their thermal conductivity and electrical conductivity. And so they're all the trends. And of course, the real humdinger of a trend is the nitrogen manganese reason. I have no idea of that. It's just that if you are looking for aesthetic trends, there's can be no more aesthetic trends than the PD block pattern. Yeah, these entire patterns of the periodic table. And so that concludes. Well, the periodic table is truly a cross between a social icon and science, quantum mechanics oozing into science before its time. It's so much to it. There's the double nature of the 2 times 1, 2 times 3, 2 times 5, 2 times 7. That aspect of it, the 2 is from spin, which is, so there's all this beautiful thick physics and chemistry hiding behind it, and it depends whether you have a sensation of that depth or you think instruct people to keep it shallow, keep it simple up the top, and just actually leave looking at the periodic table. That's all I have to say at this point. Thanks for listening, and in the meantime, keep on doing science.